Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
My dear friends, welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm so glad you could be with us today, especially so because of my wonderful guest. At the very top of the list of experts that I have long wanted to share with you is today's guest. The hardest part of doing afterlife research has not been collecting the information. Actually, that part's fun. But once you have some evidence assembled, you've got to figure out how it fits with what you already know. And that part is tough because we have so many missing pieces still. How does it all fit together? Well, the hardest part for me has been trying to understand how the physics of reality works. In the end, a few great books helped me begin to assemble a working understanding, such as, you know, Craig Hogan's Your Eternal Self, Michael Talbot's The Holographic Universe, and of course, a lot of the things Max Planck said. Those are all must reads. But frankly, there's one book more than any other that in 2008 made everything click for me. Were it not for the fact that Lynn McTaggart's The Field, The Quest for the Secret Force of the Universe came out in paperback that year, I could not have written The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next for publication in 2010. So getting to visit with Lynn now about her great new book is such a treat for me. Lynn McTaggart is one of the world's foremost authorities on the simple fact that, as quantum physicist Max Planck said, consciousness underlies everything. Her seven books, besides The Field, include The Intention Experiment, The Bond, and now The Power of Eight, harnessing the miraculous energies of a small group to heal others, your life, and the world. Her books have been published in more than 30 languages, and she is frequently cited for the amazing work that she continues to do in the emerging science of the power of consciousness. I just want, please, everybody, pour some tea now and just hear Lynn talk. Lynn, I'm thrilled you're here. Welcome.
I love that. Pour some tea and hear me talk. It's wonderful to be with you.
Well, I hardly know where to begin. I started reading The Power of Eight. I couldn't put it down except that the world kept intervening. And then I realized that one third of the way through the book, I already had much more to talk about with Lynn than I could possibly cover in our little time together today. So she has agreed to come back a couple of more times at least to share other. I don't know how to express this to you adequately. This stuff is amazing. And I'm afraid that too few people listening really understand how amazing the evidence we have is because science has been stonewalling it so effectively. So, Lynn, how did you first get started thinking about all of this?
Well, I sort of got into this by accident in a sense. I'm a journalist by training, and an investigative reporter is how I started out life. I mean, I was busting baby selling rings in my 20s with hidden microphones and tape recorders. I was going to put bad guys in jail. And I moved into health journalism because I was ill and couldn't find anybody to sort me out. And when I finally found what I thought I had and the person that I thought could cure me, and it was just a faulty microbiome, which is, you know, very, very common, and everybody knows what to do with it now. But back in the 80s, they didn't. And I worked with a nutritional pioneer, and it was so impressive what he was doing that I probably got pretty boring on the subject. And my husband finally said, don't tell me, tell the world. So we set up a thing called What Doctors Don't Tell You, which was a newsletter back in 1989 when we launched it, but it became a magazine. Now it's an international magazine. What I wanted to do was to look at what works and what doesn't work in conventional and alternative medicine and look at the scientific evidence. So we were doing that for a number of years, and then around the mid to late 90s, I kept coming across some very good studies of spiritual healing, and I kept thinking to myself, wait a minute, if we could take a thought and send it to someone else and make them better, that in itself undermines everything we think about how the universe works. So I was curious about this. I thought there might be something like human energy fields. And I talked my publishers into essentially funding a journey without a compass, because I had no idea what I was going to find. So I thought I'll start and I'll talk to some scientists who are working in consciousness research and frontier things. And I soon realized that each of them were putting together, through their experimental evidence, one tiny piece of a completely new worldview of how the universe works.
Yes.
And so I realized also that it's difficult for them to step beyond their own experimental boundaries and do some speculation. It's also hard for them to talk in plain English. And that, I guess that job was going to be mine. So I produced this book, The Field.
What excites me about this, and this is what had me up all night reading The Field when I first read it, this is what Max Planck discovered coming from the viewpoint of quantum physics. And here it is. Frankly, I'm surprised you're not a scientist. I think you're the most thorough scientist and most deliberate and fearless scientist, Lynn, that I have ever encountered. So you certainly are a scientist. And I'll give you your PhD right now. You are a scientist in a way.
A few people want me to turn The Field into a PhD. They said just take out all the stories and, you know, keep the interesting bits out
and submit it as a thesis. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As I say, I couldn't put it down. Literally, I was up all night reading it.
Thank you so much. So I was really fascinated by all of this and the idea that consciousness is a thing that affects other things. And also it was the time of The Secret and then the Law of Attraction. And I also had, when thinking about all of that, I wasn't really sure I believed it. I thought to myself, how come it seems like we've trivialized this? If consciousness is so powerful, why are we using it to manifest parking spaces? Why aren't we using it to cure cancer? Why aren't we using it to heal the world? And also, what happens when lots of people think the same thought at the same time? Does it magnify the effect? So I wanted to test this. I was really a 21st century Downing Thomas. And so I thought to myself, you know, The Field was in lots of languages by then, and I knew a lot of scientists in consciousness research. And so I thought, well, if I just put these two pieces together, I'll have the biggest global laboratory in the world. Every so often, I can invite my readers as a whole, as a big group, to send intention to some target that's set up by one of the scientists in their lab. So that's what I did. And I really didn't think it was going to work, but I was game to try, and we did it, and we've run 30 to date, and it's not only worked, it's really worked. I mean, of the 30 experiments we've run, everything from trying to affect subtle processes of a leaf to trying to make plants grow faster to purifying water to lowering violence in war-torn areas to trying to heal someone of PTSD, of those 30 experiments, 26 have shown measurable positive responses. And, you know, there's no drug out there with that kind of consistent response. So this was impressive. But it wasn't the big impressive bit.
Lynn, you were working with scientists on this, right? This wasn't just Lynn trying her own little stuff. This was...
No. We're talking about prestigious psychologists, experts in water. You know, I had the world's expert in water and material science working with me at the University of Pennsylvania. I had a very noted psychologist from the University of Arizona. I had one of the top statisticians from the University of California doing all of the statistical evidence. You know, we had some really quality scientists. I've always been with scientists. Because there's no point for me doing it unless we can actually demonstrate that we have
an
effect.
Absolutely. This is part of what I love about your work. You are so serious and disciplined. I could never be that serious and disciplined, and I just admire the fact that you can be, and so skeptical, too. It's terrific. The Power of Eight, I should just tell everyone, which I recommend more highly probably than I've ever recommended a book except The Field. The Power of Eight contains a lot of this history. So if you're curious, as I would have been if I were sitting sitting in your shoes, although sitting in your chair, driving in your car right now. If you're curious about how this is really possible, read The Power of Eight's history in the beginning, because it will fascinate you. I'm sorry. Go ahead, dear.
So that isn't the interesting part of the story. I mean, for instance, we did an – it isn't the interesting part of the story because, for instance, I ran a peace intention experiment to lower violence in Sri Lanka. And we chose Sri Lanka mainly because we could get 2 years' worth of data on injuries and deaths. And I needed that kind of long statistical information for my scientists to actually say, yeah, you probably had an effect. So it looked like – we might have had some sort of effect, although it's hard to say that with any certainty. But this 25-year war, the 8 days of our experiment seemed to be proved pivotal in the winning of the war. It was really wow. quite extraordinary. That was the week of the most decisive battles. That was fascinating. But once again, not the point of the story. The point of the story was what was happening to my participants. I surveyed them afterward, and my mind was blown because I got in thousands of responses saying, I felt like I was wired to a higher network. I had an amazing altered state. I was tingling and crying uncontrollably. Just extraordinary things like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, plus I'm getting along with my loved ones better than I ever had. I've made up with my mother. We haven't talked for years. I'm in love with everybody I come into contact with. I'm hugging strangers. There were thousands like this.
That's
and
amazing.
I was shocked. Yeah, I was shocked because I started recognizing, wow, this has some sort of mirror effect. You know, it's having more of an effect on the people taking part even than the target itself.
Well, that sort of blows my mind, too. But it doesn't surprise me, because what you're connecting with is this universal consciousness, which really, from my perspective, my research suggests is the only thing that exists and is what manifests everything else. So if you're more closely plugged into that, and its very essence is the high vibration that we call love, that's all predictable. That's what's great, Lynn, about your work. It verifies what everybody else is doing, too.
Well, I think what it does is gives Western mind proof. You know, a lot of this is, you know, there's a part of me that kind of hates woo-woo because I don't like things that I don't like things that people make that are just assertions. Oh, this is how it happens. Well, how do you know? What's the evidence? Demonstrate it. And so it's always what I've set out to do is to show, basically prove magic. And the thing was, though, that an even more amazing thing happened when I started putting people into little groups of eight. Now, back in 2008, I had hardly ever run a workshop before. I'm a journalist by training. And so I thought to myself, well, I probably ought to scale these down to workshops. That's what people do, right?
Right.
So I'll put them into, and I couldn't figure out, well, how do I show people how intention works in any meaningful way? And I'm kicking this around with my husband, and I say, I know, I don't know. I'll put them in groups of eight and see what happens. You know, he says, yeah, I love that, The Power of Eight. He's a really good headline writer.
Well, so, but what about eight? Where did the number come from? That's one of the things people will wonder.
Completely out of the blue. Just
okay.
out of the blue. I just said, I don't know. I'll think of eight. I don't know. I'd like to say it was sacred geometry. It wasn't.
No.
So we put these...
Great.
No, we have these people, we have them in groups of eight in Chicago, our first workshop in 2008. We're putting them in groups of eight. I'm telling them what to do. I'm telling them to hold hands, send an intention to somebody in the group with a health challenge. I'm completely making it up as I'm going along, believe me. And, you know, I knew the techniques to use to maximize your ability to intend. I've studied those. I'd worked with intention masters. I knew all that. But the whole idea of group intention, I thought something about it must be really important to hold the same intention at the same time and to have an unbroken connection. So I tell them to do this. I figure it's going to feel, you know, like a facial. It's going to be a feel-good exercise, nothing more. And so I ask them to come back the next day and report on their experiences. And I line them up. I give them a mic in turn, and they say things like this. I've had pain in my right hip for for years, and it's completely gone, and I walk normally today.
Oh,
I had terrible IBS, and it's, you know, I've had this for years and years and years, and my stomach feels normal today. I usually wake up with a terrible headache every morning, and I don't have it today. And,
oh,
you know, on and on and on. And it got worse in the sense that as I ran these workshops over time, we had more and more and more of these miracle healings, essentially, where there was a woman with cataracts who said she was 80% better. There was a woman
cataract
with scoliosis.
Even?
Cataract, 80% better at cataract. A woman the other week, I was at Mile High Church in Denver, and she was a stroke victim. She said she could not focus her eyes. They no longer focused together, and they did after this little Power of Eight group. She was seeing normally again.
Wow.
We had people with scoliosis, several of them, where, you know, their backs is totally out of pain after it, immediately afterward. And one wrote me back to say she's had to change the rearview mirror of her car because her back's so much straighter. You know, and, you know, terrible arthritis, no more pain, walking normally. MS victim left her crutches at home the next day. It was ridiculous. And
no,
I did not
why
believe
isn't this
it.
Headlines on every newspaper in the United States and in the UK as well? Why not? This is the most this is important.
Well, I think, Roberta, people don't believe it. And I didn't believe it. I mean, for years, I did not believe it. I was in a sense, embarrassed by it because I thought, well, I'm not a healer. I'm not Eric Pearl. I never want to be, nor do I put myself forward as being that. Why are these things going on? Is it just a placebo effect? Is it just a feel-good exercise that just transforms people? What's the mechanism? You know, and I was desperate to find out what the mechanism was, but which is what prompted, you know, me to write this book and to study everything about, well, how could this be working? Why is this? And it wasn't just the receivers. The senders were having these miraculous things, too.
Yes.
The Mile High Church, just the thing I was doing a couple of weeks ago, this guy called Wes. He was a Vietnam vet. His life got derailed when he got a low lottery number and he got drafted when he was in college. He never finished college. His life spiraled downward ever since he had that fairly traumatic experience in Vietnam. And, you know, he just didn't have a good life. And here he was at 65, kind of feeling, what's the use? Hardly having the energy or desire to get up in the morning. And he does this group, he's intending for someone else, and he said, and we've documented him saying, my whole life has shifted. I am joyful. I am ready to do, I want to write a book. I want to do this. I'm exercising 90 minutes a day. I'm doing this. And, you know, I'm my 19-year-old self again.
Oh,
yeah. That's amazing.
Fabulous. And this just happened? Amazing. This happened recently?
Yeah, that is from the Mile High Church and the stroke victim Mile High Church, but I have hundreds, probably thousands of others who have had these kinds of amazing things, not just happen to them in their health, but also in their life. Effects that were on their career, on their life's purpose, on their relationships. You know, just people transformed.
What Lynn is talking about now will, within a decade, be common knowledge. And in large part because of people like her, and there are very few actually like her, who have done in a disciplined way the kind of research that scientists, mainstream scientists, should have been doing all along, except that they're stuck with a dogma of materialism, which means that they don't dare look at consciousness as a separate thing, whereas in fact, consciousness is everything. So this is an exciting time to be alive because we get to watch the light finally dawn. But one of the things people are really curious about now, Lynn, is you said you were winging it and this all started to happen. What exactly did you tell these people they should be doing? How do they create that intention together?
Well, some of the key elements, you know, I've put a lot of detail on how to be a good intender in my book, The Power of Eight. But some of the most important elements of it are holding hands or creating some sort of unbroken connection in a circle. Now, I said eight. Eight seems to be an optimum number. I've had very good results with people who are a group of six. I've had very good results with the people who have a group of 12. I think eight is just not too many, not too few. It's kind of a Goldilocks number.
Yes.
But there's no magic about it other than its historical context of being an infinity sign, et cetera, et cetera. But in practical terms, it's just if you can get eight people together, that's great. You hold hands. You formulate an intention statement together. So you're all going to think the same thought at the same time. Our intention is that Jane Doe be free of all pain in her right hip and be healthy and well in every way. That kind of thing. But you are very specific, too. I mean, all of the intention experiments I've done and the work on the Power of Eight groups, I've always suggested be specific. Don't send an intention out to create world peace. You know, be very focused. Where do you want peace? By how much? You know, and the same thing with trying to heal somebody. Focus on what you want. Tell the universe what you want. And you all kind of breathe in and out together, and you all formulate that intention, and you imagine that person being healthy and well in every way with all of your senses, a very highly focused state. And you send that intention out together with your heart. And so it's a heart-centered thing, not a head-centered thing. And the recipient just open up your heart to receive. Those are the essentials of it. There's a lot more detail, of course, and as I say, I've got it in my book. But that's the rudimentaries of it that I just intuitively, I guess, stumbled on. But that's what seems to work.
And I love the way you put that, that you intuitively stumbled on. I have to tell you, in point of fact, and I hope this doesn't make you feel suddenly that I'm too woo-woo, but from 50 years of studying a whole bunch of evidence from a whole bunch of places, I can tell you with absolute confidence none of that was accidental. And, of course, you're being used by spirit, and you were given the number eight, which turns out to be the right number, and you were given what these people should do, which turns out, from my independent analysis based on everything I know, that's exactly what they should have been doing. You got to be very literal when you work with spirit, and it's you've got to basically claim the result, not pray from lack, but pray from abundance.
Yes.
That's what all these people are doing. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes. It is amazing, and trust the process. It is amazing. And I guess I was, I guess I was, you know, the spirit got in my car and decided to drive
me. It's so hard for you to even say it. I think that's wonderful. You are such a skeptic. That's great.
I know. Well, and you know, what was amazing is I kept asking why. Why is this working?
Yes.
And I decided to put it to its own test. So I had been speaking at a place called Life University, and the head of the university liked the idea of the Power of Eights. And so he basically said, I'm going to put one of my departments at your disposal, the psychology department, and have you work with some neuroscientists too. And I was just so overwhelmed with gratitude because I thought, wow, we can really see what's going on inside these guys. And so we are setting up a series of experiments. We've run the first one, and it's in my book. And what we looked at was the brainwaves of people who were doing the sending. Now, the brainwaves, understand that the people who were involved in this, in these groups, were just student volunteers. They were total novices. They had never done Power of Eight groups before. Most of them had never even meditated.
Right.
And they went into these groups, they sent intention to someone else, and Dr. Stephanie Sullivan measured one of their brainwaves. And we ran it 6-7 times, I think. And every single time, we found an amazing change in the brain, a global quieting of the part of the brain that separates us from the rest of the universe, that says, no, this is where you end and the rest of the universe begins. And also, all of those functions of the frontal lobes of the brain that are involved with negativity, worry, doubt, all of those things, all turned way down, dial turned way down.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. And what was incredible is it was the absolute exact brainwave signature of a Sufi master or a Buddhist monk in ecstatic prayer. These had been measured by Dr. Andrew Newberg of the University of Pennsylvania, who did studies of moments of mystical states and enlightenment. That's what my guys were showing. Identical signatures, brainwave signatures.
Just because they were in a circle of eight holding hands and holding the common intention?
Yes.
Oh,
I mean, this
goodness.
this is the thing that's so amazing about it. The holding intention, it kind of was a, remember, everybody reports on this when I've talked to them about it, you know, that they felt they were in some sort of higher network, just like the giant intention experiments, that they felt they, you know, their individuality dropped away. They felt like they were in an altered state.
Oh,
they had all of the hallmarks of people like Abraham Maslow, when he talks about people in mystical states. He talks about this feeling of overwhelming connection, a physical change, you know, maybe goosebumps or feeling tingling, a sense of oneness of the universe, this completion, a blinding epiphany of meaning. You know, the world finally makes sense to them in every regard.
Isn't
and also rejuvenation.
Fabulous.
Yeah,
I'm so
a real sense of change.
This.
But here's the amazing bit. You know, a Sufi master needs years of training and technique.
Yes.
A Buddhist monk, the same. Or you need hours of priming to get into that state. My guys at this study had a 13-minute video from me telling them how to do this, and that was it.
And
yet, they were transported into the miraculous. They were transported into this altered state that enables amazing changes to happen. And so for me, this is really fascinating because it basically says, you know, you don't need ayahuasca. You don't need a sweat lodge. You don't need years of practice.
Yes.
And
that is so
all
profound.
Of that.
May I just make a point to my listeners? I'm telling you all the time that you are part, your mind is part of the consciousness that continuously manifests this universe. So what Lynn is telling us now is that this easy exercise, which anybody can do, will put you in direct contact right away with remembering who and what you really are, and you will have this glorious download from this continuously manifesting consciousness that is all that really exists. I just have to put it in lay terms for these people because I keep saying it to people, and once again, we have proof from an entirely different source that it's really true. You don't have to go through all of these things. All you need to do is be open to consciousness, open, truly open to spirit. I'm sorry, Lynn. I just had to say that because...
No, that's so right, Roberta.
Different direction.
No, and that's so right. I mean, all you need, you don't need all that technique. All you need is a group, a little group, a small group. And, you know, I put it through my own Petri dish, too, after a while.
Uh-huh.
I decided to invite a batch of people, and I had about 250 at the end, to be part of a year-long master class where I would put them in groups after 7 weeks of instruction from me and put them into little groups, and I'd monitor them, you know, with their groups of eight over the year. I'd monitor them month by month to see what happened to them. And it was amazing, of the 150 who actually continued to meet week by week with their groups, pretty much 100% had some sort of major life transformational experience or more. Like, you know, one woman had chronic fatigue for 15 years. It was gone. Another guy had lifelong depression, very frustrating because he was a clinical psychologist, and that was gone. But also people who were stuck in their lives, in their careers, got dream jobs, or windfalls when they least expected it. It was amazing. And, you know, changes of life purpose. People set up amazing enterprise schemes, and they were working really well. People made up with estranged family members. It was extraordinary. And, you know, I had to ask myself finally, well, what are the odds of this just being the inevitable batch of events that grow over time? And I had to say, given what all the amazing things that happened to these people, the answer was no. The odds are 1,000,000 to 1 that was the case.
Or even greater, I would think. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is exciting, Lynn. How wonderful to be living your life that you get to do all this. What a gift.
Well, it was scary, actually, because, you know, as I say, I've always been really cautious about, I always like to go right to the line of what is about cutting edge where cutting-edge science meets cutting-edge spirit. And this line was something that really got crossed for me, and I was frightened by what was happening. But I'm convinced now, and convinced by one other piece that's really important, which is the power of getting off of yourself. I mean, that was what, for a lot of people who stayed stuck where their intentions weren't working, as soon as they got off of themselves and started intending for someone within or without their group, their life, they had amazing things happen to themselves.
Isn't that,
right away.
Can we say that again, please? People who were focused on their own issues had trouble having any of this happen, but as soon as they started focusing on the needs of someone else?
Yeah. As soon as they started intending for someone else, their life started working. Whatever they wanted to intend for came to pass.
Oh,
and it was incredible.
I love that.
I had one woman, Andy. No matter what she did, she could not get a decent kind of income. And she was going through a divorce. Nothing was working in her life. So I finally, and we tried everything with the group. I finally just said, Andy, get off of yourself. You know, just start intending for someone else. And
yes,
there was a young boy we started intending to for who had tried to commit suicide, a teenager. And she did. And the moment she started intending for Luke, out of nowhere comes this call with an offer of a dream job for her, out of nowhere.
Oh,
and that
this.
Happened a number of times. It was just amazing.
Today we're talking about The Power of Eight, and this book summarizes a lot of Lynn's work to date, so I can't possibly recommend it highly enough. I think you must read this book if you even are concerned about understanding what is going on.
I run periodic large intention experiments, and I've got one of the largest going on November 9th. I'm running a Middle Eastern peace intention experiment. And aside from inviting my audience from around the world, I'm also working with a well-known Israeli documentary maker. So she'll be inviting all of her peace groups from Israel, and also a peace person called Dr. Salar al-Rashid from the Middle East, and he has thousands of people in all of the Gulf states, Arabs, who will
wow.
be part of this too. So we will have a mix of everyone coming together to send intention for peace to a particular area in the Middle East. So people can get involved with that by just signing up to my website. That's lynnmctaggart.com, and they'll get information about how to participate. But it'll be a live event.
And this is November 9th?
Yes.
Of 2017. So if you're listening to this
yep.
much later, you may find evidence of how on the website of how things worked out. Her name is LynnMctaggart. And I guess it's .com, right?
Yes, thanks.
Super. Okay, so I think that's thrilling. I intend to go and watch this all happen. That's wonderful.
It's going to be really exciting because we're going to be able to do, we may do a simultaneous translation from English into Hebrew and Arabic. So there will be thousands of people, and there's going to be a big, big screen of it shown somewhere in the Middle East. I'm not going to give more detail because I don't want to give away the target. It's going to be a big, big event. It's going to be fabulous.
It's going to be fabulous. And since this works so beautifully, but apparently the number of people involved doesn't seem to make that much of a difference, right? Or does it?
No, that's the thing that's really interesting about these experiments, large and small, the power bait groups or the large ones. I've done experiments with thousands of people and got the exact same result when we had just a tiny group of 100. And I've also found these amazing effects with just these power of eight groups. And so essentially it doesn't matter. It's not bigger, it's not better. It's all about intending together with one voice.
Wow.
You know, and that's what's the big powerful thing. Essentially praying ecstatically with one voice.
Yes, praying ecstatically with one voice and claiming what you're trying. Don't say, please, let's have this or that. Just say thank you for whatever it is you're trying to make to manifest. And then you put your own power behind whatever it is you're trying to make real. So I'm excited about that. I'm marking my calendar. What time of day? But the information is all on the website, right?
It will all be on the website. I think it'll be sort of 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, that kind of thing. 6 p.m. UK time, 7 p.m. European time. It'll all be on my website. Sign up, and you'll get more information about it.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to do that too. So let's talk, Lynn, about how would people get in touch with you? I mean, someone who says, all right, I want to be part of that Power of Eight group somewhere, or where are you going to be next? Or will all of that information be on your website?
It'll all be on my website. I will be I know I'm going to be in California in February. I'm going to be in New York in December. I've got a variety of places. You can find out all of my events for 2018 on my website, and as well, I've got an amazing retreat. I just do one retreat a year, and that is in Tuscany this year, and we'll be doing 8 days of not only going around Florence and all of those wonderful places, but also doing a Power of Eight intensive. So it will be an amazing event.
It
for
will be.
8 days. Yeah, that's really great. And I always run one masterclass, only one, every year. I'll be starting mine in January, and that will be working with people for 7 weeks, and then I put them in virtual groups of eight, and they just work together, and that becomes their intention family.
Wow. And are these limited in size, so people have to worry about getting on the list, or can they be larger groups?
Well, I keep the groups themselves small to eight, but I work with just a critical mass of people. So, yeah, people need to sign up early.
So Tuscany could close is what you're saying?
Definitely. Okay. Tuscany, we've only got about 15, 20 people.
Okay. All right. Well, this I'd like to go to that one if I could find the time. This is wonderful. Everyone, Lynn McTaggart is a true scientist. There are very few in the world right now. She is fearless. She goes wherever the evidence takes her. She doesn't believe uncritically, but she keeps testing. And when something is established in her mind, she builds on that. This is how every scientist in the world should be working right now. And unfortunately, because of the materialist dogma, which turns out to be utterly wrong, most scientists don't ever get a chance to do what Lynn is doing. So I think she's, between you and me, Lynn, I think you're very, very blessed. But I know it can be hard to be sort of the lead dog, which is what you pretty much are now in the field of consciousness research. It's hard. There's people nipping at your heels who don't agree with you. And I just think the more you become known, though, the more people are going to understand that what you're doing is right. So thank you so much for doing it.
Well, thank you. And I hope when people try out the Power of Eight groups for themselves, they'll have tangible proof of the power of consciousness in a small group. They will experience it. There's never been a case where I haven't had that kind of experience. And, you know, when I spoke at Mile High Church in Denver a couple weeks back, after I finished speaking, we put people in groups of eight. We had about an hour's worth of people talking about what had happened to them in those little groups. And there were amazing stories of accident victims who had been in pain and were no longer in pain. And, you know, it just went on and on and on. And so the best proof I can recommend is if you have a look at my book, The Power of Eight, and you set up those little, try a group yourself, and you'll see what I mean. And if you don't have eight friends or eight people in your office or your book club or your church, we have a community site now on lynnmctaggart.com where you can set up a virtual group of eight. And you can experience exactly the same things in that virtual group.
You don't have, in other words, it doesn't have to be only your best friends. It can be anyone as long as you are sincerely doing this. I love this. Lynn, I'm so sorry we have to say goodbye. I'd like to spend all day actually talking with you, but please consider yourself virtually hugged, and we are going to do this again very soon.
I really look forward to it. Thanks so much.
And thank you, everyone. This has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I'm so glad you could join us today. For me, this has been epic. Never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being, as Lynn McTaggart just proved to you once again. You never began, you never will end, and when you fully grasp everything that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest will be Keith Clark. Keith is a young expert, and he's a visionary in the field of instrumental trance communication. He's seen by many to be an important leader of the younger generation of afterlife researchers, since most of us are past 55 and into our 60s and 70s. Keith is the next generation. He's the founder of the iDigital Medium team, and after 11 years, hard to believe, he doesn't seem to be old enough to have done this. He's now doing energy experiments as a live worldwide event that anyone can participate in right now. And you're going to just love him. He's a wonderful, brilliant, compelling young man. So please be sure to join us next week. This week, we've been speaking with the great British consciousness researcher. Actually, she started out as an American, as perhaps you can tell by her voice, Lynn McTaggart. Lynn is a truly first-rate scientist. She's curious, she's fearless, she's ruthlessly honest, and she's written some extraordinary books based on her research, including my personal favorite, The Field, The Quest for the Secret Force of the Universe. I remember staying up all night to finish her book, and I remember how repeatedly it would make me gasp and then smile. How many books have you ever read that have done that for you? Her new book, The Power of Eight, Harnessing the Miraculous Energies of a Small Group to Heal Others, Your Life, and the World, is a great introduction to our work. In fact, I'm already sending it. It's already on the way to someone who is I love very much, who needs to do this with me. We're going to fix her life completely. It isn't often that I've been able to share with you one of my greatest personal heroes, who frankly is now an even greater personal hero. So today's been very special for me. As you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, All the Fun Books, My Dying, and I'm going to tell you in a very few weeks about my latest book, so stay tuned for that. They're available through bookstores and on Amazon and in 34 languages nationwide. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and please make the most of this coming week in our one precious reality, much greater than we can possibly imagine, as Lynn has just shown us yet again. And please know that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you in particular are infinitely loved.